to be at least 62 to collect Social Security. Maybe because it takes that long to understand the program. Hi, I'm Rob West. Do you have questions about Social Security? Of course you do. Who doesn't? Well, you don't want to miss today's program. Eddie Holland is back to answer more of your questions about Social Security. And then it's on to your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest today is Eddie Holland, a senior private wealth advisor and partner of Blue Trust in Greenville, South Carolina. He's also a CPA, a certified financial planner, and a certified kingdom advisor, but he's an expert on Social Security, and not many folks can say that. By the way, while Eddie is here for the majority of the broadcast today, we will be specifically taking your questions on Social Security, whether you're wrestling with that survivor benefit or a spousal benefit, or you're just wondering when to take Social Security. Anything is fair game today. Eddie would love to tackle your questions, Social Security related, at 800-525-7000. Eddie, welcome back to the broadcast.
Thank you, Rob. It's great to be back.
All right, Eddie, we're going to be making this something of a Social Security FAQ, or frequently asked questions program. One we've gotten several times recently goes something like this. Can I claim my Social Security benefits when I'm 62 and then switch to spousal benefits when my spouse claims their retirement benefits a few years from now?
Yeah, Robin, this is a very common question. And this used to be a much more difficult question to answer several years ago. Several of the Social Security laws have changed. So the short answer to that is, are you able to draw a spousal benefit only if your spousal benefit is higher than your own benefit? So Social Security forces you to take the higher of your own benefit or a spousal benefit, assuming you are eligible to start drawing a spousal benefit. And so many people ask the question, how do I know if I'm eligible? Well, if your spousal benefit, which is half of the spouse's benefit, so let's just say husband and wife, let's say we have a wife who's wanting to draw a spousal benefit off of her husband. If the spousal benefit, so half of her husband's benefit, is more than her own benefit, then she's eligible to start drawing as a spouse only if her husband has started drawing first.
Okay. And oftentimes when we get into this conversation, we hear about this idea that, well, I could let my benefit based on my own work record continue to grow, take the spousal benefit, and then switch. Is that an option that folks can consider?
Unfortunately, it's not. A person is no longer eligible to switch to a spousal benefit if they start drawing their own and their spousal benefit is higher. So I work with numbers all day, every day, and so I like to use numbers in my example, Rob. So let me just throw a couple of examples out.
All right, yeah, that'd be great.
Let's say that we have a husband whose full retirement age benefit is $2,000 per month.
Okay.
Let's say that his wife's benefit is $800 per month, full retirement age. So her benefit is $800 per month. His is $2,000. Because half of his $1,000 is more than hers, the $800, then she would be eligible for a spousal benefit. On the flip side, if her benefit was $1,200 and his was $2,000, half of $2,000 is $1,000, her $1,200 is more than the $1,000, then she's not eligible for a spousal benefit. So to answer your question, could she start drawing a spousal benefit when she was 62? At $1,000 subject to a reduction, and then switch to her own at a later point? And the answer is no. She has to take the higher of the two benefits. And that is one of the laws that I said changed. Several years ago, you used to have the option of potentially restricting a benefit to spousal only, meaning in that case, the wife could start drawing a spousal benefit of $1,000 subject to a reduction and then switch to her own at a later point. But that's no longer an option. She has to take the higher of the two, assuming she's eligible for a spousal benefit.
All right. Very good. That's helpful. We'll dig into that a little bit further when we come back, because I'd love to know if he, in your example, is not taking his yet, and you said that is a prerequisite for the spousal, can she take her own benefit and then switch once he starts taking his? We'll get into that and a whole host of other issues, including survivor's benefits and the optimal time to take Social Security, plus, of course, your questions at 800-525-7000. Eddie Holland with us today. Back with more after this.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. When times are good, we often forget about God. But when we're struggling, that's when our pain snaps us back to our senses and we cry out to Him again. Sometimes the Lord answers quickly, but more often we have to wait. We need to trust Him for His timing. God often uses long seasons of waiting to do good things in us. He's making us more like Christ, but we can rest assured, our prayers do not fall on deaf ears. To His people, Israel, God said in Exodus, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people. I have heard them crying out, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them." Get more daily encouragement from Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
The FDA did approve this particular over-the-counter drug for terminating early pregnancies. This is a policy that not only should be challenged, it was challenged. This is a study that's done, and this is the data, this is the science. You can always question that and say, well, who is funding this research? Are these geared toward a specific outcome? But that also begs the question, where is our funding on our side for better studies?
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our goal in this program each day is that you would see God as your ultimate treasure and money a tool to accomplish His purposes. But we know you have a wide range of questions and issues that you're facing each day related to managing God's money. And one of those has to do with that season of life where we're confronted with Social Security. How do we approach it? And when should I use it? Should I wait? Should I take it now? We're taking your questions today with our special guest, Eddie Holland, who is a Social Security expert, at 800-525-7000, specifically for this first portion of the broadcast here, questions on Social Security at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Eddie, just to circle back to what we were talking about before the break, you were talking about how because of changes in the law, it really is no longer an option as a spouse to collect a benefit and then wait and switch to a higher benefit down the road. But you also mentioned that in order to get spousal benefits, your spouse must start collecting first. I think I've heard you say in the past, they have to walk through that door first. Is that correct?
That is correct, Robin. I tried to distill this down to as easy to understand terminology as possible. So as you mentioned before, Social Security is very complex and complicated. So to think about Social Security, think about your own door. And then if you're married, think about your spouse's door. As long as you qualify for a benefit on your record, you can walk through your door starting at age 62. Your spouse can do the same. But if you're wanting to talk about walking through the other door, so if the husband is wanting to talk about walking through his wife's door or vice versa, the wife is talking about walking through the husband's door, the only way that you're eligible to do that, which you've already alluded to, is called a spousal benefit. The only way you're eligible to start drawing as a spouse is if the husband has walked through his door first in the wife's case, or the wife has walked through first in the husband's case.
Okay, very good. So then building on that for a moment, if your husband has not walked through his door and the wife is trying to claim spousal benefits, she can't because he hasn't gone first. Can she then take her benefits based on her work record and then switch to the spousal benefits, assuming they're higher once he walks through his door, and perhaps start collecting earlier, but preserve her benefits for later?
Yes. So in your example, let's say husband, we'll go back to the prior to the break, we were talking about husband and wife. Husband's benefit was $2,000 at full retirement age per month. Wife's is, let's say, $800 per month. Half of the husband's is $1,000. That's technically what would be considered a spousal benefit. Right. Wife's benefit is $800. So what's the amount needed to get from her own of $800 up to $1,000? That's a $200 benefit. So that technically is what Social Security calls your spousal benefit. So in your example, husband has not walked through his door. So that $200 that wife is eligible to start drawing when her husband walks through his door, she cannot start drawing it until he walks through. So if she wants to walk through her door first, she can walk through, start collecting the $800 per month. If she's younger than full retirement age, she's going to be subject to a reduction. She'll receive that $800, whatever the reduced amount is, for as long as the husband has not walked through his door. Upon entering his door, husband allows the wife to walk through after him, and then that extra $200 can be added to whatever her benefit is. As long as she is full retirement age when her husband walks through his door, then that $200 additional amount is not reduced. If she is younger than full retirement age when her husband walks through his door, that $200 spousal benefit will be subject to a reduction based on the number of months early that she's drawing.
Yeah, but she's not penalized for taking hers early so long as she's at full retirement age when he walks through the door. Is that right?
Yeah, so if she's walked through her door first, whatever her age is at drawing, that's going to determine if she's subject to a reduction. The additional $200 as a spousal benefit, that is based on her age when her husband walks through the door. So there's really, to your point, Rob, a twofold test. The first test is how old is she when she walks through her door? That determines the reduction on her own benefit. And then how old is she when her husband walks through his door to grab that $200 extra amount? That's going to be subject to a reduction if she's younger than full retirement age. If she's not, if she's full retirement age or older, that $200 is added on to whatever her benefit is.
Yeah, that's really helpful. All right, we appreciate you bringing clarity there. All the lines are full. We're taking your questions for this portion of the broadcast on Social Security. Eddie Holland with us today of Blue Trust. Let's go to Tennessee. Hi, Teresa. How can we help you?
Hi. So I have a question about Social Security as it relates to how long you have to work in your lifetime to get full benefits. I've worked since I was 16, part-time while I was a student, but then full-time pretty much ever since I was 18 until about 12 years ago, and take care of family, things like that. Have re-entered the workforce, and just wondering, now that I'm 56, I'd heard somewhere that you had to have so many years of Social Security, or I'm not sure how that works.
Great question, Teresa. Eddie?
Yes, Teresa. So you have to have a minimum of 40 credits, which equates to 10 years of working history. So you can earn 4 credits per year. So as long, in your case, let's say you worked part-time and you earned, let's say, 3 credits 1 year, you earned 4 credits the next, you earned 3. That's a cumulative running tally. Once you hit 40 credits, you're eligible for a benefit off of your own record. Now, let's say you didn't have the 40 credits. Rob and I were just talking about spousal benefits. You don't have to have 40 credits to be eligible for a spousal benefit, as long as you meet other criteria to qualify for the spousal benefit. But if you're talking about your own benefit, you have to have worked and paid into the Social Security system for a minimum of 40 credits. The most that you can earn per year in credits is 4 credits. So that's why I was saying it would be a minimum of 10 years, assuming you earned 4 credits per year.
Yeah, very good. Now, Eddie, let's draw the distinction between those 40 credits or 10 years of full-time work and what they call the high 35, which is really going to drive the benefit amount. Will you explain that to Teresa and perhaps how she could think about those additional years beyond the 10 helping get that benefit up?
Yes, great question, Rob. Thanks for bringing that up. So, Teresa, as Rob said, you have to have at least 40 credits to be eligible for a benefit, but Social Security benefits are based on the highest 35 years of wages. So if you don't have 35 years of wages, then they take whatever the number of years that you've worked. Your primary insurance amount, your PIA, is what most people call your full retirement benefit. That's based on your work history. They look at the high 35, as Rob said, the highest 35 years of wages. If you only have 25, as long as you qualify for the 40 credits, which you would, then they're going to be based on the 25 years of service. If you've got 40 years of service, then they're only going to take the highest 35. So in your case, let's assume you only have 25 years of work history. Well, every additional year that you work and pay into the Social Security system, you're getting additional years worth of credits that will increase your benefit. Now, I don't want to be a wet blanket here, but it's not going to be probably thousands upon thousands of dollars. It's going to be an incremental increase based on your monthly benefit. But as long as you haven't met the high 35, each additional year you work and pay into the system will incrementally increase your Social Security benefit.
Excellent. Teresa, I hope that clears it up. Thanks for your call today. More questions with Eddie Holland around the corner, specifically related to Social Security at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Join us for the second annual AFA at the Ark.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family and several of the other staff members of AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers in Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Ark.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Today's topic, Social Security. I know it's exciting, but the good news is we have our Social Security expert, Eddie Holland, with us today. He's a senior private wealth advisor and partner of Blue Trust in Greenville, South Carolina. And Eddie, the word on the street is that you keep the IRS tax code on your nightstand. Is that true?
My wife may vouch for that. There's quite a few books on the nightstand. I don't know if the IRS tax code is, but there's more than she enjoys.
I'm sure. Well, we're grateful for all your studies because they help us understand something that can be quite confusing. And that's why the phone calls are all stacked up today. So let's head right back to the phones. To Oklahoma we go. Hi, Paula. How can Eddie and I help you today?
See the SSDI, and it's saying that they are taking Part B medical insurance premiums due through July 2024. And I have insurance from the VA and also from, I worked about 30 years for the state, and so I have health insurance from them also. So do I have to take this, or can I opt out or something?
Yeah, very good. So you're on Social Security disability. They're taking Part B, and you're saying you, because you're a veteran, you have other coverage. Is that correct?
Yes, and another coverage also from my employer that I worked at for the state of Texas.
Ah, I see.
So I actually have two insurances.
Yeah, very good. Any thoughts?
Yeah, so let me just preface this, Rob and Paula, by saying I'm not nearly as well versed on Social Security disability as I am Social Security retirement benefits. Let me answer it regarding Social Security retirement. And then, Paula, if there's a clause or a caveat that I'm not aware, just understand that this may not be fully accurate for the disability portion of Social Security. For retirement benefits, Social Security, if you are drawing Social Security, you are automatically enrolled in Medicare Part A, but you do have the option of opting out of Part B. You have to have credible coverage, which it sounds like you do. So if we were talking about Social Security retirement benefits, then you would be able to and eligible to opt out of Medicare Part B. I'm not sure if Social Security disability has a different clause or requirement that forces you to remain in Medicare Part B.
Hmm. Is that helpful, Paula?
Yes, I got a form and it says request for termination of premium Part A, Part B, or Part B immunosuppressive drug coverage. I don't understand that. So maybe I'll just go down to my Social Security office and talk to them, I guess.
Yeah, that's never a bad idea. Eddie, give us an update on just kind of the availability of that option, either by phone or in person. Have you found a lot of clients having success with that?
Yeah, so pre-COVID, it was very accessible. I know that with COVID, quite a few things in our country changed, and one of those was Social Security availability to meet with agents face-to-face. I have always heard, Rob, I live here in South Carolina, and so I'll just give you what I've heard locally, but I would imagine it's pretty universal across the nation. The recommendation is to call the 1-800 number and schedule an appointment with an agent locally. So whatever your preferred local office is, you can call the 1-800 number, tell them that you'd like to schedule an appointment. My understanding is you do have the option of going to the local office. You'll draw a number and you may have to sit for a while. But my understanding is that most local offices now are open and are able to see you, but the preferred method is to call the 1-800 number and schedule an appointment.
Yeah, very good. Paula, thanks for your call, and thanks for your service to our nation. We're grateful. Let's go to Tennessee. Hi, Mary. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead. Hi, Mary.
Yes,
are you with us?
Yes, I was calling about
the death benefit or survivor's benefits, if you have lost a spouse, is there a requirement for length of the marriage for that to be applicable?
Oh, yeah. Great question. Eddie?
Yes, Mary. So they say that 2 years is the quote-unquote minimum, but there are some exceptions to that, like accidental death. So in my experience, as long as you were married at the time of your spouse's death, then you would be eligible for a survivor benefit. And that's actually a different type of benefit, Mary, than what we were talking about earlier in the program. That is one option where you have to choose either your own or a survivor benefit. So you could start drawing a survivor benefit as early as age 60 and switch to your own at a later date. Or if you're already drawing your own benefit, you could delay your survivor benefit until full retirement age and potentially increase your benefit. So there's some options with survivor benefits that are not available for a spousal benefit.
Mm. Mary, is that helpful?
Yes, we had understood it was 10 years. So yeah. So how do you pursue that? And it does not kick in necessarily upon being a survivor or a widow?
Yeah. So the 10-year benefit is for divorced spouses or ex-spouses. So if you have a late spouse, a spouse that passed away and you were divorced, then you could potentially be eligible off of that ex-spouse's record if he or she has passed away as a survivor. You would have had to have been married at least 10 years, and you could not have remarried unless you remarried after the age of 60. So the 10-year requirement is for a divorced situation, not for somebody that was married at the time of the person passing away.
Mary, thank you for your call. Eddie, just a minute left to follow up on this survivor's benefit. You mentioned you could take either or. Does it matter whether your spouse, your late spouse, had begun taking his or her benefit before death as to when you need to take it? Or in either case, whether they were taking it or not, could you continue on your own, let theirs grow, the survivor benefit grow, and then take it at a later date? Does that make sense?
Yes, and we may run into the break, so if we do, we can circle back at the other end of the break. Let me make one distinction. I just misspoke, Rob. I said 2 years. It's actually 9 months. 2 years has to do with divorced spouses if the person is still living. So 9 months prior to death, and so as long as you were married 9 months prior to death, and like I said, there are some exceptions to that, like accidental death. But yes, okay. You do have
let's,
the ability.
Let's do this. Let's hold that for the other side. Okay. Sure. That'll be great. So yeah, just to clarify, 9 months is how long you would have needed to be married to collect survivor's benefits upon the spouse passing away. That's really helpful. All right, Eddie Holland here today. We're talking Social Security on Faith and Finance. Much more just around the corner. Stick around. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, my good friend Eddie Holland. He's a senior private wealth advisor and partner of Blue Trust in Greenville, South Carolina. He's a CFP, a CPA, and a certified Kingdom advisor, also a Social Security expert. Eddie, before we head back to the phones, before the break, we were talking about survivor's benefits. Let me just ask it this way. Is survivor's benefits one of those situations where after the passing of your spouse, you could allow your survivor's benefit to grow and continue collecting yours and then switch at the point of your choosing? Is there an option there?
There is, yeah. So that's what makes survivor benefit different than a spousal benefit. You have the option of choosing either your own or a survivor. You're not forced to take the higher of the two. One key distinction about survivor benefits, Rob, is that survivor benefits do not receive delayed retirement credits. Delayed retirement credits are 2/3 of 1% increase per month from your full retirement age out to age 70. So if your full retirement age is 67, presumably or theoretically, you could delay your own benefit and receive 24% increase in benefits. That is not applicable to survivor benefits. So the easy way to boil this down is if you are eligible for a survivor benefit, you are full retirement age or older, and your survivor benefit is the highest benefit you'll ever be able to receive. So said another way, your own benefit with the delayed retirement credits will never exceed the survivor benefit. You need to start drawing your survivor benefit because you're delaying, receiving no benefit by delaying that benefit past full retirement age.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's helpful. I know this gets confusing, but I really appreciate you clearing that up. Let's head back to the phones. Gail is in Georgia. Gail, go ahead.
Hi. I have a question about my dad's Social Security. My dad was born in 1918. And he fell within a period of years that I think are referred to as the windfall years, which they receive less than they would have if they were not in those years. Can he tell me what is the latest legal action toward that? I mean, I know that there are people that have requested that Congress change that and be retroactive in payments, but just give us an update on that.
Yeah. Eddie, I assume she's talking about windfall elimination. Is
that right? Yes, that's exactly what I'm assuming she's talking about. So, Gail, you're exactly right. For workers that were receiving wages but were not paying into the Social Security Administration, then that person is subject to what's called the windfall elimination provision, which means that they may have to, or their Social Security benefits may be subject to a reduction. They may not be eligible for a full Social Security benefit. I've not heard any type of legislative changes on the horizon to do away with that completely. There are some exceptions. One of the biggest exceptions is if a person has 30 or more years of what they call substantial earnings under Social Security. So in your dad's case, he was, let's say he was not subject to Social Security withholding for a period of time. He went to work for someone else that was withholding Social Security. If he had 30 years of substantial earnings, and you can actually just Google substantial earnings and it will pull up a chart and it will show you what substantial earnings are by year, that will determine if your dad's eligible for a much higher Social Security benefit. Said another way, he may be less subject to the windfall elimination provision, assuming he has at least 30 years of substantial earnings.
That's helpful. So, Gail, if I understand correctly, your dad is 106. Is that right?
Well, my mother's actually collecting survivor's benefits.
Okay.
From him.
Yes.
Yeah. So
makes sense.
I know he's not 106, but she's 96.
Okay. Well, that's incredible.
And Rob, let me jump in and just make a point there. So, Gail, that's actually a great point, and I'm glad you made that distinction. The windfall elimination provision relates to a person still living. There's something called a government pension offset that actually affects spouses and surviving spouses. So your mom's actually falling under what they call the GPO, the government pension offset, which has a whole different set of rules regarding that. So to my knowledge, the substantial earnings doesn't apply to the government pension offset the way that it does the windfall elimination provision, which may be the reason why your mom's not receiving nearly the benefit that you think she should be.
Yeah, that's helpful. Gail, thank you for your call today. Let's head out to Oklahoma. Hi, Tammy, go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for your call.
I have a question. First off, my dad worked for Social Security for 35 years, and unfortunately he's passed away, and he always used to answer our questions for us. And he said the rules change all the time, and so somebody that's not actively working, it's hard for them to answer your questions. But my question is, my husband's 75, and he draws Social Security. I'm 63 and still working. Can I draw off of his Social Security or not?
Go ahead, Eddie.
Yes, Tammy. So unfortunately, you're not able to draw only a spousal benefit. You would have to take the higher of your own or a spousal benefit. And I'm assuming if you've been working and paying into the system, your benefit may be higher than half of his. If you're younger than full retirement age and you're still working, you will be subject to what's called an earnings test. So in 2024, if you're younger than full retirement age, in your case you are, then the yearly amount of that earnings test is $22,320. So if you make over $22,320, then your benefit would be subject to a reduction. And that reduction would be $1 for every $2 over that threshold, which is $22,320 for someone under full retirement age. If we're talking about the year you reach full retirement age, the threshold goes up to $59,520. The reduction amount goes down. It's $1 for every $3, but that's only for the year that you reach full retirement age. Once you reach full retirement age, there is no earnings limit. So regardless of what your wages are, you could start drawing and not be subject to the earnings limit. But in your specific case, you're 63, you would be subject to the earnings test, which for this year is $22,320.
So if she was letting hers, she is not taking her benefit early. He starts taking his, she's still working. She wouldn't be able to go ahead and claim that Social Security spousal benefit at this point, or would she?
She would not, no. And there's two reasons. Number one, she cannot pick and choose. So she's not allowed to say, my spousal benefit now, and I'll draw my own later. Social Security did away with that. Used to be called a restricted claim. Can no longer restrict your claim to spousal only. You have to take the higher of the two. And then, as you mentioned, because she's still working, she would be subject to that earnings test as well.
Plus, she'd have the reduction for early benefit, taking
that's
early
right.
benefit.
That is correct, yes.
Does that make sense to you, Tammy?
It does, and thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate your call today. Well, we've got the line stacked up here today. Obviously, a hot topic, one that a lot of folks have questions about. We have just a minute left before the break, and then we'll come back and take some more questions. Eddie, real quick, a lot of folks don't realize that they can see that benefit increase a couple of ways after they've locked it in and they start collecting. One is cost of living, but the other is replacing those high 35s, right? That continues to work for you beyond full retirement age if you're earning more, correct?
That is precisely correct, Rob.
Yeah,
if you have at least 35 years of working history and you continue to work, if that new income replaces one of the 35, you'll get an incremental increase the following year.
Yeah, and that's on top of the cost of living adjustments as well. All right, Eddie Holland here today. We're talking Social Security. We've got one more segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
We seek after God for those physical things which, though they are very important, they are not the most important. We miss out entirely on the whole spiritual realm of what Jesus is offering us when he says, I am the bread of life.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, The I Am Statements of Jesus, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners, LTD, and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services, LLC.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. With me today, Eddie Holland, my good friend. He's a Social Security expert and a senior private wealth advisor and partner of Blue Trust in Greenville, South Carolina. Eddie, before we head back to the phones, you were talking before the break about that earnings cap, where each year there's a certain amount that you can earn. And beyond that, if you're prior to full retirement age, you will have a reduction in benefits. It is important to note that two things, I think. One, once you reach full retirement age, you can earn as much as you want. And two, you will start getting that reduction back and eventually be made whole through an increased check beyond full retirement age, correct?
That is correct, yes. And I have yet to get clear explanation from Social Security on how long it takes to receive that full benefit back. But in case of an example, let's say you had $10,000 of benefits withheld or reduced because you started drawing, continued to work, and were subject to the earnings test. That $10,000, once you reach full retirement age, gets incrementally sprinkled back into your check each month. You don't receive a $10,000 lump sum amount for the amount that was reduced. It's incrementally sprinkled back. My best guess is, Rob, it's probably sprinkled back over what your average life expectancy is based on year of birth. Social Security has an average life expectancy for you. So it's probably sprinkled back over years. But to your point, if you live long enough, then you'll receive all of that benefit back.
Yeah, that's helpful. And Eddie, one thing I've always wondered is that first year prorated in the sense that, let's say you're a high income earner and you earned $200,000 between January and September, and then you retire and you start taking benefits. Are they going to look at the earnings that you had between January and September and start pulling back on you? Or will it be just prorated for the months after retirement?
What a great question, Rob. This is probably one of the more common questions I get on this specific topic. There is some good news. Social Security will allow you a one-time opportunity to petition them to look at your earnings on what I call a go forward basis. So in your example, you made 200 grand between January and September. You're younger than full retirement age. You plan to retire in October and start drawing your benefit in October. You can tell the Social Security Administration, I made 200 grand prior to, but going forward, I'm not going to make over the monthly threshold. So we mentioned before the break, 22,320 is the threshold for someone under full retirement age, not the year they reach full retirement age. If you tell them, I'm not going to earn any money or that much money going forward, then they will apply a monthly limit. So they'll say, as long as you're under $1,860 per month in earned income, you will not be subject to the earnings test. And again, I'm driving this point home, but this is earned income only. This is not passive income, rental income, IRA distributions. This is just earned income, money that you're earning for working for an employer or self-employed income.
Yeah.
If you're under that monthly threshold, then they will disregard what you've made up to that point as long as you petition them to look on a go-forward basis.
That's really helpful. Thanks for clearing that up. All right, back to the phones. We go to Mississippi. Hi, Robbie. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Thank you. I am 76, and I still work, but I also draw my Social Security. My wife is 20 years my junior. If I died this year, from what I've been listening, it sounds like she would, as my widow, she would not be eligible for any of my Social Security until she's 60, or am I wrong about that?
Yeah, go ahead, Eddie.
Yes, Robbie, you are correct. As a survivor, you're only eligible for a survivor benefit at the age of 60. Now, there is something called a caregiver benefit, and that's more Eddie's terminology than Social Security. So I don't want anybody going to Social Security and saying, what's the caregiver benefit? That's my terminology. But essentially what that means is if a person is caring for a minor, someone under the age of 16 or a disabled child, you could potentially be eligible for a caregiver benefit off of a deceased spouse's record. So in your case, if you had a minor child, Robbie, or you had a disabled child and your wife was caring for that child, then she could potentially be eligible for a survivor caregiver benefit. But assuming that's not applicable, the earliest that she would be eligible to draw a survivor benefit would be age 60.
Is that helpful, Robbie?
Add or ask one other thing.
Sure, go ahead.
If she has her 40 hours of credit at that time that she's 60, and she is eligible for a portion of my, and she doesn't want to retire, she just wants to keep working. But if she's eligible to draw, how much of my Social Security will just be a portion or all of it or what percent?
So as a survivor, she's eligible for up to 100% of your benefit. If she takes it at age 60, it's going to be subject to a 28.5% reduction. And if she's continuing to work, Robbie, she's going to be subject to that earnings test that Rob and I just talked about. So in her case, if she's still working, making over $22,320, if she starts drawing at 60, she's subject to the 28.5% reduction right off the top because she's drawing it prior to full retirement age. And then that amount is going to be subject to the earnings test, depending on how far or how much she exceeds the 22,320 would determine the additional reduction amount.
So it would be better for her to just wait until she reaches full retirement age. At that point, if her Social Security benefits are less than mine, more than mine, equal to mine, how does mine play in? Is it just a wash, or can she get any additional Social Security based on what being my widow and what I've paid in?
So at full retirement age, if she wanted to start collecting a survivor benefit and let her own grow, she would have that option. She would really not want to delay survivor benefits past her full retirement age because she's not getting an incremental or additional increase in the survivor benefit. but she would absolutely have the ability to start drawing her survivor benefit at her full retirement age 67 and then switch to her own at age 70 if her own is higher than the survivor benefit.
And that's the only situation where you can pick and choose, as we talked about earlier. That is not available as a spousal benefit, but it is available as a survivor. Again, if she's full retirement age, there's no earnings cap, there's no reduction because she's not taking it early. So she would absolutely want to take that survivor benefit, but she could then, Robbie, let her own work record benefit continue to grow 8% a year until age 70 and then elect to switch. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Okay, thank you so much. That's very helpful.
Excellent. Thanks for your call, sir. To Texas. Hi, Catherine. Go right ahead.
Hi. What if neither you nor your spouse has reached full retirement age, but your spouse passes away before that age and before you have started taking benefits? How is that benefit determined?
So the survivor benefit is based on the age of the person's death and their full retirement age benefit. So if your husband was, let's say, 63 or 64 when he passed away, then your survivor benefit is going to be based on what his full retirement age benefit was. You could determine that by going to Social Security, ssa.gov, Social Security's website. If you're able to download a statement, or if there was one mailed to your husband prior to his passing, that full retirement age benefit amount would be what you would be eligible for as a survivor benefit. If you don't have that information, you could call the Social Security Administration 1-800 number, and they would be able to provide that for you.
So let me say that another way, just to clarify, Eddie. So he passes away before full retirement age, but as long as the survivor, you wait until your own full retirement age, then you'll be eligible to collect 100% of his full retirement age benefit that he would have received had he not passed away early. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. Does that make sense, Catherine?
I think so. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Bottom line there is you're not penalized for him passing away prior to full retirement age. You still get what he would have gotten as a full retirement age benefit, so long as you wait until your own full retirement age to collect it, because if you don't, you'll be penalized for taking it early. Let's see quickly to Tennessee. I think this is where we're going to have to wrap it up for today. Hi, Don. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. My question is, my wife and I are both early retired. I'm 60. She's 59. Currently growing off of investments, IRAs. So we're trying to strategically determine when we would start drawing Social Security. Should we start drawing hers first when she's early retired at 62, and let mine continue to grow till full retirement age?
Yeah, good question. Eddie, how do you help folks make that decision?
Yeah, and as you would imagine, Rob, there's a lot of nuance to this, a lot of customization. I would say in general, depending on the difference between the amounts. So if wife's benefit is very low or small, husband's is much higher. We've had some clients do what's called the barbell approach. Wife will start drawing it early. Husband will delay. When husband eventually starts drawing, he may trigger the wife to be eligible for a spousal benefit. So she may take some now, take a little bit more later when he starts drawing. And the benefit of him delaying is obviously the increased amount that he gets. But if she survives him, she would be eligible for a survivor benefit off of his record as well.
Very good. Yeah, I think this is a great opportunity, Don, for some planning with an advisor who can really help you think through that. But I think you're on the right track in terms of how you're thinking through this. Appreciate your call, Don. Eddie, it's been fabulous. Always appreciate our time with you. We're going to have you back real soon, all right?
Sounds great, Rob. Thank you.
All right. That was Eddie Holland with Blue Trust. You can learn more at bluetrust.com. Thanks to my team today, Pat, Jim, Taylor, and Devin. Couldn't do it without them. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.